Good morning, and welcome to Mountain View Church, Kelowna. Happy Good Friday. This is a wonderful day where we celebrate an awful event that set us free. I invite you to take some time this morning and to quietly reflect as you're listening to the songs and the scripture. Reflect that we're all part of this story. We all represent the Pharisees and the Romans, Peter and Judas, and all of the characters are there because they represent humanity. We're the ones who put Christ on the cross. He's the one who forgives. Remember that this morning. It's okay to lament, but it's also okay to celebrate, because today is the day we celebrate the freedom of the world. The Lamb who was slain, the one who purchased us by his blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in humility. We recognize the truth that we are the ones who have failed, that we are the ones that pounded the nails, that we are the ones who betrayed and denied, that we are the ones who ran away. We recognize that we're not above the Pharisees and the tax collectors and the sinners, or even Pilate. There's only one hero in this story, and we thank you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that you didn't bring justice through a sword, but through the cross. We thank you that you would die for the sake of sinners like me, and that we have this day to celebrate the truth that it is finished. Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us when we have turned from you, when we continue to live the lies of this world that put you on a cross, when we take for granted that every day we are as dependent on your grace as every other day, that we haven't arrived. Forgive us our ego, our hatred, our lust and greed. Father, even this morning, through your Holy Spirit, will you renew us? Will you transform us? Will you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what happened on that day on Golgotha? Make us a people who are meant to be followers of a crucified Messiah. And help us to embrace the truth that he brought in a world full of lies. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we confessed our sins again, and we will continue to do that every service, because the truth is we are a sinful people. And the good news is he's a God who longs to forgive. So hear the words the scriptures say, that every time we confess our sins, both individually and corporately, he is just and faithful to forgive us. So let us worship now. Worship as a forgiven community. Amen. Yeah.
in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless state. This gift of love and righteousness, born by the one he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since Christ has lost his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home.
Hey, everybody. We're going to do things a little different today on Good Friday. Usually, of course, we pray the prayer requests that are sent, and we will on Easter Sunday. But today I would like you to, first of all, know that you can send an email to us at prayer@mountainviewkelowna.ca, and we'll be happy to reply and to send email, put you on the prayer list. If you want to be on the prayer list, let us know. If you want to be prayed for on Sunday morning, please let us know that as well. And Jordis will happily share with us those, and we will share. But today, it's Good Friday, and I've been thinking a lot about this. I think this is the kind of day where you pray your prayer requests, but we come before the crucified Messiah, and we lay bare what's on our hearts, our fears, our troubles, our shame, and also the praise that comes with this. So I'm going to pray a little bit, and then I'm going to invite you to silently just rest before the Lord and pray whatever's on your heart, because this is the day where we stand below the cross. And we recognize that this is what God has done for us. So let us join our hearts together and let us pray. Living God, revealed in Jesus Christ, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are alive, that you surround and love those who are forsaken, that you identify with the forsaken. When you cried, "Why have you forsaken me?" you showed you are the God of the forsaken. Lord, we are to still a people that have been forsaken because of our sin. And we come before you right now as a people that need healing. So we're each going to bring our prayers to you, Father, and trust in you, the crucified God. thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you that because of the cross, the temple curtain was torn and we have access to you now. Remind us that it's because of the cross that we can always come boldly before your throne, because you're a God of grace. Now we praise you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their face. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Our scripture read, our New Testament gospel reading is from John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have brought him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, again we come before the cross. I've been doing this, well, going on 19 years. And every time it's just so humbling to preach this story. If everyone knows it, and yet, I don't know about you, but it always feels new to me. This is a story about a God who paid for our sins on a cross. This is a story, obviously, about the good news of the redemption that we who were cursed had the curse lifted by the God who created us. It's a beautiful story. But something often gets missing in the telling of this story. And it's a fundamental truth that this story is about truth. This story is about, fundamentally, Pilate's question, what is truth? There was a study done. Now, when I studied psychology back in the 90s, early 90s, I'm old, they still studied psychology looking for truisms about human behavior. It's since become largely a system of trying to promote politics on the left. But back when I went there, that wasn't such the interest. The interest was, what is the human being like? What is truth? Now, there was a study done called the ASH study, and I love this study because it's particularly interesting. The ASH study was done by a guy in the 1950s, and he wanted to see how much people really conform to other people. So the study was simple. He got 8 people. 7 were paid by him and were in on the study. The last one was not. He was paid, but he wasn't in on the gag. So what happened is, they always put the last one in the 8th chair. And what would happen is something like this. He would ask the question you see on the slide. Which line is the same length as the line on the left? Now clearly when you look at it, it's A. Anyone can see it's A. But the study wasn't about actually answering that question. The study was, do you believe it when other people say something different? What was stunning is they went around, and of course at first, everyone on the first round picked the right line. In the second round, a couple people picked the different line. But by the end, all seven of the plants picked the wrong line. So they would have picked, say, B or C instead of A. And the question that was asked to see how much conformity is, the person who wasn't in on the gag, how much would he or she conform to the fact that everyone was saying something different? The guess was about 35% would do it. They would eventually give in. they were in for a shock. The numbers are quite telling. Only 2% went against the group consistently through the whole study. 25% of those who are being studied gave wrong answers because of the group. Not every time, but because of the group, they at least gave one wrong answer. 75% gave the wrong answer every time that the other people did. This shocked the people because it was a realization, as they said in the study after, that we really bind our truth to others. And that is the truth. We like to think as individuals that, and you hear this always in our culture right now, my truth. Have you heard somebody say, my truth is this? Well, the Ash study would say, I'm not sure that's such your truth. It's probably the truth of someone else. Well, in the time of Christ, groups had truths. Groups had inherited truths. And we run into two of them here, of course, in this story. It starts off with Caiaphas, Jesus being taken from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. Now, Caiaphas had a truth. You've got to remember, these people believed in something. They had a truth together. They had believed in a line on their page. It just wasn't the line of Scripture. What had happened over time since the Maccabees and the revolts is their truth was that God was going to deliver Israel with a sword and he was going to bring his Messiah. And the Romans would be destroyed. They hated the Romans. That was their truth. And they took Jesus from Caiaphas because he's a threat to their power structure. And they ironically take him to the Romans. Now, it was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters. Now, this is meant to be irony. Here's the ironic part. In their truth, they believed in following Torah. And Torah does say, don't go in an uncleanly area or you won't be able to worship at the temple. So as to avoid ritual defilement. But think of what they're doing. Their truth has them obeying a religious rule. Well, they go against the very commandments of God who said, do not bear false witness. Do not murder. That's what religious truth can do to you. Religious truth can make you blind to God. So to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover, they stayed away and dragged a man who had done nothing wrong to his death. So out comes Pilate. Pilate also has a truth. Pilate's truth is a little different, but it's kind of the same. Pilate believes, as any good Roman, that one God beats another God when one army beats another army in war. One thing often misunderstood is that people stop believing in gods when their country lost. No, it just meant the other team's God was bigger. So Pilate would have believed in his God Mars, beat Yahweh because we defeated the Jews, and we're all powerful. So Pilate goes out to them and says, what accusation has you brought against this man? I'm sure Pilate is not thrilled. He didn't like Jews. He was an anti-Semite like most Romans. And they're bringing him, waking him up early in the morning. They answered, if this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. They don't even have an accusation. Do you notice that? But their truth is saying that the ends justify the means. We have to kill this guy so that the Jewish state will thrive. Pilate said to them, the truth, which is take him and judge himself according to your law. That's Pilate's truth. Why are you bothering me? The Jews replied, we are not permitted to put anyone to death. Well, again, they're playing loose with the truth here. Remember Stephen? It seems that the Jews in the first century Second Temple period, or the adulterous woman who was to be stoned, felt quite free to kill people. Yes, it was true. The Romans, whenever they went, said they're the only ones who could put people to death. But as long as you put the right people to death, they didn't care. So again, in religion, they're living a lie. But this was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. That is on a tree. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, for Pilate, kings are powerful. They carry swords. They have armories. They have armies. They're mean. They're vicious. They destroy. They conquer. They're like the four horsemen of apocalypse. That's what they bring. And he's asking Jesus because that's his truth of a king. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or do others tell you about me?" He doesn't answer him because he wouldn't have understood what Jesus means by a king, what a king truly is. Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I?" Note the recognition that their truths are not his. Why in the heck would you be asking me questions? "Your own nation and chief priests has handed you over to me. What have you done?" How crazy it must have been for Pilate to see this man who looked like a Palestinian peasant. How could this guy be dangerous in his world of what kings are like? I'm sure he was stunned. Jesus answered, "My kingdom," and Jesus answers the truth. "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not like yours, Pilate. "If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep you from being handed over to the Jews, because that's how kingdoms fight in this world. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Praise God, because if he would have been a king like Caesar, he would have destroyed all sinners, including us. Pilate asks, "So you are a king?" He can't get it out of his head, can he? See, because he's been told a lie so many times that that's how kings work. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." He can't answer him, really, because he doesn't understand what... They're talking two different languages. One's talking the truth, one's talking a lie. "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Because the truth sets people free. The truth saves." And then he says, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The cross is about the truth. And Jesus was about bringing truth. Well, this doesn't really convince Pilate. And Pilate asked him a question that all Greeks would have, because there were so many different philosophical ideas. And he can only think through the Greek philosophical world. And he says, "What is truth?" Much like people say today. Your truth, my truth, the Jewish truth, what is it? Because he didn't see the truth in front of him. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." Isn't that ironic that those with the biblical law find a reason to kill him while the pagans have no cause? How far had those Jews come from the truth? "But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover." So now the question to the Jews is, what is your truth? You see, there's two people in this story that are brought up. Barabbas is not a bandit. That's a bad interpretation. They didn't crucify bandits. He was an insurrectionist. He was a terrorist. He killed Romans. That's how you got hung on a cross. Only two ways: runaway slave and insurrectionist. And Jesus would have been seen as an insurrectionist, claiming to be a king. And he says, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" I think he said that sarcastically, to pointing at this man who's already been beaten, who's already got nothing to his name. He's saying that's what kings of Jews are really like. So what would the truth be of Israel, of us, of humanity without God? They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Give us vengeance. Give us hatred. That's the truth. Give us something that we can kill our enemy." And so the insurrection and terrorist Barabbas was set free. because Jesus came to bring the true truth, and we were all blind. The question of a cross is this, and it asks it over and over and over again in every generation, to both genders, to every race. What is truth? What is truth? In our world today, everybody's truth is the truth. So there is no truth if everybody's truth is truth. And if everybody's truth is truth, then there can't be a lie. That's the world we live in. It's not the Christian world. The Christian world assumes that there is truth. But the question's a little unfair. Remember these words that he says in John's Gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. By the way, that's probably one of the most offensive things he said to our culture, is that there's only one way. But he proclaims here that I am, ego and me. You can't help but hear the claim of Moses, Yahweh to Moses. I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What he's saying right there is, I am truth embodied. I'm not a set of philosophical ideas that you have to discern which one can interpret one way and one can interpret the other. I embody truth. I embody the truth of the one who created the heavens and the earth, who transcends first century Second Temple Judaism, who transcends Roman imperialism, who transcends woke leftist politics, who transcends right fundamentalist nationalism. He becomes the truth himself. See, it's not what is the truth, it is who is the truth. And this is what the cross is saying, and it's demanding a response. I do agree with great old Pope Frank on this one. Truth, according to the Christian faith, is God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, truth is a relationship. Truth is a relationship. But truth can only be a relationship when we acknowledge the truth. When we stop living the lie. I titled this TGIF. I know it's used in a way that's just kind of a passing way to say, I'm so excited my weekend's coming. We can go out and party or whatever. But actually, I'm using it in the pure sense. Thank God, I mean this literally, that it's Friday. Because if there wasn't a Good Friday, guess what? I'd be bound to my lies. Now, I don't want you to hear this the wrong way. It's not that I don't understand people who say, this is my truth, because I understand how attractive that is. To say something's my truth is just goes to the core of your being. It means everything I feel and value and hope for is true. I lived it before I became a Christian. I lived in a world where I believed certain things about abortion and sexuality and all these things because it suited me. And it was truth because it was my truth. I held views about nationalism and what it meant to treat an enemy because it was my truth. And I loved it. I understand. But I thank God it's Friday. Because somebody came into my life and said, you're living a lie. That's what the Gospels are about. That's what the cross is about. It's God's no to us so we can live. It's saying, no, you are lying. Whether you're religiously lying, imperially lying, or just selfishly lying. I don't celebrate people who walk around and say, my truth is truth. And I don't celebrate people who say, oh, you have a truth. It must be the truth. I watch them on the internet. They're not very happy lot. Because they're bound to their truth, and their truth is often lies. I pray for them. that they get to the point where they thank God for the cross because it shows us who we really are. You see, the cross shows the truth about humanity. My friends, we are Peter. We are Judas. We are the Roman soldiers. We are Pilate. We are Caiaphas. In the sense of we all live a lie. And every one of us, when we face the cross, recognize, wow, that's not our truth. That's not about being successful. That's not about killing our enemies and having vengeance. It's not about me celebrating my race over someone else or gender. The cross shows us to be completely murderous, hateful, who live in our lies. People shouldn't say this is my truth. People should say this is my lie. It's only when we come to the truth, Jesus Christ and the cross, that we see who we are, a people that nailed Jesus to the cross. And he allowed himself to do that, folks, so he could free us. Free us from the lies we live in. He loves us that much that he was willing to offend. He was willing to be beaten and stripped, spat upon. That's incredible. The great Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The cross is God's truth about us. And therefore it is the only power that can make us truthful. Amen. When we know the cross, we are no longer afraid of the truth. Because the truth shows us who we are. The cross shows us who we are. But more importantly, why we're no longer afraid of the truth is because the cross shows the truth about God. It shows us for who we really are by our nature, but it also shows God as he is by his nature. Moltmann said, when the crucified Jesus is called the image of the invisible God, the meaning is that this God, and this is God, and God is like this. So what does the cross tell us about God? It tells us the truth. We who live in lies can go so far as kill him and be forgiven. It tells us that his character, unlike ours, is not to lie, but to live truth. And thank God the truth his character lives is a sacrificial love for us. The cross shows us that whatever other picture we place on God, whether it's a religious picture that he's come to destroy our enemies, or it's a picture that he's just a happy little guy in heaven that just wants us to be happy and do fun things and live our truths, they're lies. It shows that the true God is a God of righteousness and justice who takes it upon himself. So we might live. The Lamb that was slain is on the throne, and he's the truth. And Good Friday brings us to that truth, that he's the God who cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Pointing to the fact that he identifies with the forsaken, that his character identifies with me, even though he was truly good. Thank God it's Friday, my friends. Because the cross came and set us free. The only question for you and for me is, will we obey this truth? The truth who's known as Jesus Christ. The truth of a God who died on a cross for our sins. The truth of a God who in his character loves us enough to sacrifice himself, or will we continue to embrace our truths, which really are lies? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's amazing that we can come before your throne. And by grace, you forgive us. Lord Jesus, we all come with lies. We ask you to help us to come back and meditate on the cross that can shatter those lies, whether they're lies of us making you in our image, lies that make us think our worldview is better than others, lies that tell us that our truths are the ultimate truth. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you would come amongst us and show your character. Thank God it is Friday, because you set us free. Amen.
Jesus paid it all.
that carry the burden for too long of my own. Thou wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go.
Grace we have, what truth we have, what love. I invite you to look for truth. It's there. It won't be found in philosophy or politics or even in religion. It's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace that. Look to Him. Look at the cross. Look what it says about us and about Him and what He's willing to do for you in your life. And you truly will be free. Embrace this God. Dedicate your life to Him because He's dedicated His life to you. And then come back on Monday, or Sunday, sorry. 10 a.m. we'll be meeting here, 10:15 outside in the yard. A few of them are going to be out there singing. Or I don't know if they're allowed to. But come expecting to hear those words. He is risen. But be like the disciples between the cross and that moment where they realize He was risen. And reflect on who God is and who you are in this moment of Good Friday. And thank Him for showing us the truth. So that we can actually live in our truth. Which is His truth. Not our lies. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so good. That you would show us who you are, the living God, in character. And show us who we are, desperate, cursed people in need of you. Change us today and make us passionate, zealous for you. And for your beloved church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.